Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 342 of the Mike White's podcast. For the couple of you that, I mean, there's football on, no one's watching live. We've started 10 minutes early just because we'd ended up ready. Do you want to be level-headed, or do you just want to wallow in sadness at 102nd minute winner going against us?
And I don't want the world to see me. It's very frustrating. It's what's really annoying is when you speak to someone about that game who is a fan of neither team, and she goes, "Ah, oh, it was a really good game." That isn't like, no, that's not the point.
I mean, it was a really good game because I think a lot of it was because both teams defensively were terrible.
Yeah,
and to actually, you know what? I don't even think it's necessarily defensively. I just think both teams were that sloppy that they just kept giving the ball away in bad positions.
Both teams, and quite strange for Farker, I think, in that game, we really went for it.
Yeah, I mean, we said at the time it happened, when we were watching the game, the one thing that I didn't expect to happen immediately after going 3-2 in front was for us to switch to a more aggressive formation. Because, like, straight after the goal is Okafor for Stack.
Yeah, and I know that Stack is probably knackered from this long run of games. But, yeah, it's not the change I'd have been doing. I mean, admittedly, if you're not bringing Bornau on, after that it's Sam Byram as a defensive option again, and...
Yeah, but like, I mean, if you needed to take Stack off with us 3-2 up, why wasn't it just Tanaka for Stack?
You can't be trusted, mate. Can't be trusted.
I mean, it was not. I wasn't even that against it. It just surprised me. But yeah, the game itself. I mean, they had a goal disallowed really early on, but it's barely worth talking about because it was very clearly a foul. Although it was a little bit of an early warning shot as to where Luca Perry is, because as much as Shatter like turns and basically does a spinning backhand to him, but he doesn't actually hit him that hard in the arm, and it is enough for him to completely drop the ball for a tap in. It's clearly a foul, so they give the foul, but it's still fairly weak goalkeeping. Then Lee's just, but for like before that, for 15 minutes. Leeds were just completely on top. Newcastle couldn't really get out. It was the exact opposite of what I expected the game to be going in. And it was nice to see it. I think maybe it's one, the confidence, and two, just having that bit of a cushion where you're not so terrified of getting beat that you can actually go out and play a little bit. Whereas if you're 1 point clear at relegation zone, you're so scared of getting beat that you're probably just going to go, these are better than us. We just, what we have, we hold.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, the team they had to pick from as well was just class all over. But we did benefit. I'm saying this now. This is more from you and from what I've heard elsewhere. And obviously the halftime substitution, so I'm indicating it. Thiago does not have a good game.
He has a nightmare. He's been brilliant all season by all accounts, and he's definitely been good in the games I've seen, but he was god-awful.
So, which is helpful for us. Was a bit surprised that he didn't go with the front three, that he went with Aronson playing off Calvert-Lewin, but yeah, clearly the right choice.
Yeah, it worked. It worked pretty well. We got on top, then they started to come back into it. It sort of went back into the game shape I expected. And just as Newcastle had got on top, Malik Thiaw just forgets what he's doing. I think he thinks that Calvert-Lewin's about to rob him of possession. So he panics. But Calvert-Lewin's actually still a yard and a half away. And in panicking, he sort of kicks the floor and falls over. Calvert-Lewin lays it off to Aronson. And it's an excellent finish from sort of 22 yards out.
He can kick a ball from distance.
Yeah, and he looks composed.
Does he look a £25 million player?
In the last 5 weeks, yeah. If you do this 5 games in a row in the Premier League, you look like a £25 million player. Because a £25 million player is a squad player.
I'm telling you now, chat, that's really good for amortization.
Yeah, we are. I mean, are you suggesting that we should sell him?
From my understanding, we now need to buy someone else's really good, because we sold a really good English youngster, so we need to buy someone else's really good English youngster now.
Yeah, it's preferably an academy talent.
Yeah,
that is like just ready to go. Is anyone really down there got someone? We'll have that Mane from Wolves, even though he's not academy. I think they actually nicked him off Rochdale.
Mm.
But we'll have him. He looks all right from a couple of games he's played. But all Leeds playing fairly well. But against Scum, it was, 3 minutes? This time it's 4 minutes, ball into box. I can't remember if it was a long throw now, but ball into box, but we let bounce twice. Pascal Strauch sort of goes to clear it. He knows he's stretching, and he has that moment of doubt, which is, if I swing a leg and someone gets in, I'm going to kick someone. So he just doesn't clear it. Falls to Harvey Barnes. And, I mean, what we meant to say at this point, what is it, like 8 in 9 games?
8 in 10.
Yeah, Harvey Barnes against Leeds United is... It's what Peterborough, both teams to score, used to be.
How appropriate that he's replacing Alan Shearer while he now plays for Newcastle. It is.
Yeah.
So if someone will score against Leeds, it will be Harvey Barnes.
Yeah, it was a really soft goal to give away. The way that it's allowed to bounce and the panic in the defence, it don't cover any of them in glory, but I think Strauch's the one that's... He's the one that, if he just takes charge, can deal with it, and he just doesn't.
Yeah. It's like you say, it's not a great decision, but it's, I think you can explain it a little bit, but yeah, it did seem that a leg out and it's blocked.
Yeah, but I suppose it happens, and he has been good for the last several weeks, so fair enough.
The only saving grace based on that game is we probably would have conceded a couple of minutes later.
I mean, yeah, given the way it went, but we then, Newcastle have the better side then for the rest of the half. They look the more likely. But right at the end of the half, ball into the box, Malik Thiaw kind of stumbles going up, and he just punches the ball away. Now, it's not like, I can see where Newcastle fans are coming from, in that they've gone, he's falling over, he's not trying to handball it. But he sort of goes over on something that isn't a foul. His arm's a long way away from his body. I have a Leeds bias, but I did jump straight up and go handball immediately because it looked like handball.
Mm.
And if anything, he's quite lucky, because if the referee's given deliberate handball, it's a second yellow card because he got booked like 7 minutes in. And I'm not saying that it's definitely a yellow. I'm saying that you get booked for that more than you don't.
Yeah.
In the same way, and I mean, to be fair, he was quite consistent because we'll come on to it later, but the penalty given against Aronson, you'd normally get booked for that as well, once he's given it. And he didn't for that one either. Penalty, like last minute stoppage time, and Calvert-Lewin tucks it away really well. So I believe the song in the ground after the 6-5 Calvert-Lewin was 1-1, 1-1 Calvert-Lewin. hopefully it'll carry on. But yeah, a really well-taken penalty. Carries on his hot streak. Golden and assisted first half. You'd always set that.
Yeah, he's thoroughly deserving of it at the moment. He's in great form. I can't wait for him to land awkwardly when he comes on for the last 5 minutes needlessly against Derby and is out for the majority of the season and we get relegated because of fucking Jesse. I mean...
Yeah, just go full Rodrigo.
Not that bitter or anything.
No, but we're getting 2-1 up, which probably was slightly flattering for us. Draw would have probably been fair. But Bruno Guimarães, who was generally not very good in this game, it's one of the worst games I've seen him have, but he is still a brilliant footballer who would cost 100 million quid if you tried to buy him now, puts in a brilliant outside at football for Joe Linton, and it's a great header, sort of falling away from goal and flicking it on. It's because of the height of the ball, there's no way for our defender, if our defender is rightly goal tied, I just think it's a good goal. I don't think there's much to be done about it.
Yeah, I think one of the things I think we spoke about was the amount of times Newcastle got the ball out on that right hand side as well, and we seem to be struggling with who to pick up at times.
Yeah, they seem to have 3-on-2 a lot, didn't they?
Yeah, because I think that one Beal seems to step up because I think he realizes there's a man over, and then it just leaves Joe Roden slap bang in the middle of two attackers.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just seem to, I think you said that they seem to always manage to be able to commit an extra centre mid forward, and we just struggle to deal with it at times.
Yeah. On the subject of Joe Roden, what the hell is he made of? How is he back?
Yeah. Why? Yeah, I just thought, well, you know, especially after West Ham had lost, so we can sort of take this almost as a free hit. So he misses that one, misses the Derby game, comes back nice and free. Oh, no, there he is. Right back in the team.
And apparently came through the game fine. That's one of the more shocked I've ever... The last time I think I was that surprised to see a name on the team sheet was in like 2003. Leeds started Nick Barmby in the FA Cup against Arsenal. And he hadn't played for months. Not injured, he just wasn't involved. Hadn't been on the bench, nothing. And then just suddenly he was starting out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's...
I just assumed he was out for at least a couple more weeks.
Yeah, he seemed to have the... I mean, he did the same thing with Ampadu, didn't he, last couple of years? Whenever Ampadu's been out, he seems to just be straight back into the team. And I totally get it in terms of his ability. It's one of those where, I mean, now that he's, you know, if he's got through it and he's fine, granted, it doesn't really matter. There was a part of me thinking, well, if we play this and lose and he agitates that injury again, it's a bit of a daft one, but clearly was deemed up to it and that it worked to an extent.
I didn't even think he'd be close to the gambling on him stage. I suppose the one thing was that if the physios and stuff have said it's probably all right, it might be that if Leeds had a league game this weekend, he wouldn't have chanced it. But because he's probably going to rest him this weekend anyway.
I mean, I find the funny part of it that, and I can't even remember who was on the bench for us, but the fact that the last game we had Longstaff on the bench who seemed to be there if we absolutely have to bring a centre mid on, maybe he can play the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then wasn't involved in this game, but Joe Roden just shows up, I'm back.
Yeah. I mean, is the old physio back and we've nabbed Sean Longstaff's leg? Is that what?
Have we delved into Adam Forshaw's muscles again?
Yeah. Good evening, Michael, by the way. He's in the comments. Two apiece. Again, they're on top, but this isn't as one way as it was at it's in the first half. I'd say that we sort of evened it out and just started to pick up and just started to get going in the game a bit. And then Bruno Guimarães gives the ball away to Ilya Gruev. Gruev finds Aronson. And I found myself shouting, just go at him. You're playing well. And lo and behold, he sort of goes in, makes the outer space. Great finish, low cost for keeper in off the post. I mean, it's a really high-class goal.
Yeah, he did the step over and everything.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. I don't think any of us saw this coming.
I absolutely didn't. I mean, I'm really pleased. Like, good for you.
And
prove us all wrong. Make us all look a bunch of pigs. Like,
all it took was dropping him against Chelsea.
Yeah, we dropped him for one game.
Yeah, it's fine. Got him. Licked him into shape there. Imagine if he'd have done this in the Championship with Nonto, if he'd have dropped him for him for a couple of weeks. He'd be an absolute world beater by now. But yeah, look, absolutely fantastic finish. These three goals, the three in two, all really well taken finishes.
Yeah, brilliant finishes.
Yeah, is he a striker?
I mean,
was he a striker all along? Is he what Bielsa wanted Dan James to be?
It's where Bielsa would want him. Oh, he can press that boy. There was a small rendition of American Boy, which must be for the first time in 2.5 years.
Well, since about 2023, I imagine.
Since we got Tuchel sacked, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, he was absolutely outstanding. And then we come to that sub, which, as I say, I wasn't particularly against at the time, even though we went in front. But you do look at the way the sort of match went, and Okafor for Stack does seem to be where we really do lose control of the match.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues is, and this is not a knock on Ampadu or Grewer, but I do think Stack is quite clearly our best centre mid. And I think he's a big player to take off the pitch at the best of times. I get it. Like, I mean, by the end of the game, one, I think he was very tired, and then you had that triple sub towards the end where two out of the three of them that came off were both on the floor as well.
Yeah. Those ones that we make right at the end, though, I mean, that's the 97th minute.
Yeah.
I didn't realise they were quite that late. But yeah, they get on top. It is quite backs to the wall at this point. And then I think we get a little bit unlucky in that the cross is swung in, Aronson jumps to block it. And is it a little bit harsh? Maybe. But in real time, I went, handball. I was sat next to you when I said it. I did think in real time it was a penalty, so I can't be upset with the ref. In the same way I thought the one for Leeds was, I thought this was as well.
Yeah.
And it's not lazy, because it's the 91st minute and he's run his ass off for 6 weeks. But I think it's a tired decision. Even though he's at, you know, you do end up like out with your arms and stuff and they go up. I don't think he does that 20 minutes into the game.
No, and I just don't think you can argue that his arms in a natural position.
The bit that's a bit unlucky is that if he's half a yard further forward, he's out of box, because he is out of box, but his arm is in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unlucky, but, you know, he's dead to me again now, so it's all fine. It's ruined everything.
It's amazing what a difference some credit in the bank makes, isn't it? Imagine he'd conceded that penalty 7 weeks ago.
he'd have been run out of town by now.
Even though it is just a bit unlucky and the sort of thing that happens in football, if he'd have done this 7 weeks ago, I'd have been fuming and you'd have been worse.
I'd have just been stood shouting AO over and over again. But yeah. And then
we get, I mean, that's in the 91st minute. Bruno Guimaraes scores the penalty. And then we have, after that 91st minute goal, we have 10 minutes. Because, they got into a bit of trouble. It was...
Shares gone off with.
Well, there was Cher's injury in like the 75th minute, which is in he hasn't broke his ankle, which they thought he had, but it's probably not good. He's out for a bit, which it did just look like one of them things that was a bit unfortunate. But that there was 10 minutes to add on, which then there's a penalty and a goal. And if we're being honest, Lucas Perry takes about 2 minutes to take three goal kicks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I aren't in any way annoyed at them playing an extra 2 minutes at the end of that 10. I think that was probably fair. But we have 10 minutes where it's just completely end to end. They have breaks and chances. So do we. This is the bit where Okafor looked a bit more like it because there's space and room to move. And he just goes, we absolutely could have nicked it. And if it wasn't that I'm still scared of us getting relegated, I'd be saying the sentence, it's nice to see two teams just going all out to win it in that situation.
Yeah. I was speaking with someone about this at work yesterday, and there's so much football that's played now that is played to not lose the game. And especially when you are at the bottom end of the table, you know, if you can play a team like Newcastle and get a point at St. James's Park, you know, it's great. For us, seemingly, that thought, quite surprisingly for Daniel Farke, to be fair, just never seemed to have run through the instructions or anyone's head that, hey, maybe this is a good point on the road.
Yeah, obviously he does have time to make changes, and he does so. Ball now for Roden, which must have just been being knackered and cramping up and stiff.
Mm.
Tanaka for Gruev, and Nonto for Aronson, who also looked knackered. Like, as much as I am not a fan of him in that, that is like maybe the only situation I've ever seen where I might have brought Harrison on instead of Nonto.
Mm.
Just that little bit of more discipline and trying to get that point. But it's a bit of a nitpick. Like, I'm not going to chew out Daniel Farke for that. I think it was maybe a bit... But if he's going to err, I'd rather err on the side of positivity than going the other way. And for so long, it's been the other way.
Yeah, we have spent a lot of time saying the changes he makes aren't particularly positive and don't change a game. And
when they are positive, it's just throw on six forwards.
Yeah, which I like that we've got that he seems to have got that out of his system in the Premier League, because it didn't really work in the Championship.
No, like two times.
Yeah, so I think ultimately you look at what happened. I mean, what was it? It stems from they get a corner, and we clear the corner out for a throw. I think like Nonto chases it down to try and keep it in and just can't.
Mm.
And it's essentially literally last throw of the dice at this point. Not literally, there's no dice, but
people sneak things into grounds to throw. I've read about it. I've seen Dream Team.
I was watching a clip from it was either the SPL or the Scottish Championship where a player had a bounty thrown at him and he picked it up and ate it. So, you know, football's great.
Well, the best Scottish one is still that referee. I want to say Willie Combe. I could be wrong.
Mm.
But that one that got hit by the sausage roll and went down, then noticed it was a sausage roll and jumped up as if he hadn't gone down. You know, still, don't throw things at referees, but it was quite...
Don't oversell a sausage roll. And then you spoke about how long it took Perry to take the goal kicks. It also seemed to take him that long to get down to try and make a save.
Yeah. I got asked on... I put on our Twitter, like, you know, oh, you know, it's a soft goal giveaway and it looked like shit goalkeeping. And then I saw the replay and just went, yeah, very shit goalkeeping. I think that this is a weird situation to be in. because Leeds have got four senior goalkeepers in the squad. And I really think there's an argument for signing a goalkeeper in January, especially if you can get one on loan and try and fix it properly in the summer.
Alex Cairns.
Yeah. A different Alex messaging us for saying a goalkeeper in January then. I don't think for a second we will sign a goalkeeper in January. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I think we've probably only got room for one signing, maybe two if someone goes out. I think there's probably bigger priorities according to them. But I really, like, I think Perry is our best goalkeeper. And I don't think he's been very good. But I do think he's better than Darlow. I do think he's better than Melier. I don't know if he's better than Alex Cairns. He's not better than the idea of Alex Cairns.
It's the best kept secret in the Premier League is Alex Cairns. He's actually that good, we can't play him.
Because Alex Cairns hasn't actually played any minutes, so I'm going off, well, when he was playing in like League One 5 years ago, he was a really good, consistent goalkeeper. But like, I haven't seen him since. So it's not even like we've thrown him in for some 21s games like a couple of times just to give him something to do.
He's becoming Scott Carson, without the medals. He's got a medal.
And although I'm sure he makes a good living without the riches, the real answer that is, if I'm going with what's in my heart, is that Rory Mahady come back from your loan.
It's your go now.
Because I'll tell you what, everyone's having a dig at Perry for his kicking. Mahady's kicking's brilliant. It'll give you a fucking heart attack. Because remember that one turn that he did against Scum?
Yeah.
Where he like beat the forward and then went, that was awesome, and then panicked and like miskicked the ball and it only went 20 yards.
Yeah.
Well, Mahady will deliberately bait them in every single time. Like, come on, close me down, then. Go on.
He's no Will Hoffer.
No.
He's my number one.
Look, statistically, might be Leeds' best goalkeeper ever.
Yeah.
Played one game, we won 2-0.
We're talking Francis Jeffers stats here, are we?
Yeah. It turns out what Leeds actually need if we want to stay in the league is we have to re-sign Arpo Harmer, play him at centre-back and put Will Hoffer in goal. Barnes from the edge of the box and Perry, he's so slow to get there and it's nowhere near the corner. And he does get there.
It's not even well struck.
No.
If he absolutely hammers it in, you can sort of say, look, he's got bodies in front of him. But the fact that he sort of shins it and it bounces and he just gets fingers to it and you just... I'm saying now, a goalkeeper 3 inches shorter makes the save. It's a bold claim there.
I have no idea if it's because of his height that he takes that long to get down. I just don't think he's very good. Like, he's not... It's not Melier where, like, you're going, oh, no, you have to get him out for his own sake as much as anything. His head's gone, all that. I don't think we're at that stage. But it's just not great. Like, I don't think for a second they'd do it. But, like, if you said to Man City, look, I know that... Can we just have James Trafford to end of season instead of you just having him on the bench? You've still got Stefan Ortega. Have him on the bench. But I don't think they'd be up for it. And to be honest, I don't think Trafford would be either because they'll play him in the cups and they'll have cup runs in every competition.
Could we have Stefan Ortega?
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe Stefan Ortega. It might be that we can get someone to take Melier. It might be that we have to pay off some of his contract. But it's better for FFP to do that than to pay him till the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, and like I say, whether it's a... go find yourself a club.
Yeah.
You know, you're free now. Run along, boy.
Yeah.
What
it does too, because Darlow is starting against Derby. It's the one thing that got confirmed in the press conference, really. It does mean that even though I do think Perry is plenty better than Darlow, if Darlow wants to have a really good game against Derby, or even just a consistent game, you know, come out, claim some crosses, have decent distribution, don't fuck up. You will get the calls from start. And even though I would disagree with him, I couldn't be like, oh, what a ridiculous thing to say.
I mean, The couple of games he's played already this season, he has been fine.
Yeah, he wasn't great, but he was fine. I mean, against Sheff Wednesday, he did chuck one in that was literally going away from goal.
I pretend that didn't happen. It's fine. not that incident. I mean, the whole game.
Yeah, fast.
It never happened. Bonnow just appeared out of nowhere to make his debut one day. But, yeah, it's... Like you say, it's when you've got four senior goalkeepers on the books, it's going to be lower down the priority list of players to bring in.
Yeah.
I think as we said last time, are crying out for probably another left-sided defender who can play either left wing back or centre back would be an ideal signing.
To make basically left-footed James Justin.
Yeah, if we can essentially... all I can think of is it's either him or Byram that's starting at left back against Derby.
Yeah, well,
because you can't play Goodmanson in that game.
No, we'll quickly do this and then we'll get on to that. Obviously, the manner of the defeat is shite, but it's another game down, and we have exact same. We're 8 points clear, just like we were. So overall, it's not even that bad a midweek. It's just, look, we led the game three times. I know that you know this stat because it went everywhere and I did put it in the group chat. But it's only the second time a team has led three separate times and lost the match. And the first time was also Leeds United against Spurs in November 2022. Because that's why we always panic. And that, I will just say this as well, because back to saying, Trafford has made horrendous mistakes at Man City before Donnarumma joined. And I just go, yeah. But I didn't think that we'd be even close to needing the goalkeeper in January. And he's about the best one that I can think that might be available on a loan. Because we're not going to sign one, because we've got four.
And also worth saying, he had a very good season last season.
Yeah, and he was the best. There's an argument he was the best player in the Championship full stop last season. You could argue it. I cannot believe that we're in a situation where I think we need a goalkeeper. I really did think, admittedly, with my limited amount of seeing him, that Perry would at the very least be number one for like 3 years. You know, at the very least, he'd be the number one for two, 3 years. And then maybe, as if Leeds stayed up and built a bit, then maybe we move up from there. I did not think that we would be January of the first season already talking about getting rid.
Yeah, I bet he signed a 5-year contract as well, didn't he?
But he's another thing for Michael, which is a fair point. He did the same at Burnley in the Premier League and they dropped him for Norwich. That is true. It's bad from Trafford, but dropping him for Murich is one of the dumbest things anyone's ever done because Murich is terrible.
That did seem an odd choice.
But Trafford has yet to prove it in the Premier League, he is right. It's not a disaster, but it felt like it for about 5 minutes after the game finished.
You try to have that rational thought of, if you told me we were going to be in a very competitive game with Newcastle and unfortunately just lose by a single goal, it probably wouldn't have been the worst thing. But yeah, it's very hard to look past the fact that we were leading going into the 90th minute, essentially.
Yeah. You shouldn't lose a game where you're winning going into stoppage time. I do have one more referee-based gripe, which is, I think Thiao could have been sent off. Joe Linton should have been sent off. And that's where the difference is. He is on a yellow, gets in the referee's face, shouts at the ref, really full-on obvious dissent, and then does the whole sarcastic applause thing, which is definitely a second yellow. And as if to prove my point, Jack Grealish got sent off for doing exactly that the same night. It was late in the game, but seeing as when all the goals were, like it would have made, it could easily have made a tangible difference to the game, which is why there were a lot of Leeds fans getting annoyed at Newcastle fans on Twitter, because Newcastle fans seemed to have this weird thing that the referee was really against him in that game, which just wasn't the case. I thought, barring Joe Linton definitely should have been sent off, I thought it was relatively well refereed. I thought that they got all the key decisions right. Their disallowed goal was rightly disallowed. I think both penalties were penalties.
And I don't think, it's not like you can really look at a 4-3 game like that and say the game wasn't allowed to flow. Yeah, it's annoying, but we're going to go on an FA Cup run now anyway and spoil everything, so.
Yeah, well, if I just go back to the pre-season predictions to check the ones that KC set up. The question was, Leeds to be knocked out of both cups by Football League teams. Me, Connie, Benny and Danny said no. You and Alex said yes. So, are you going to get some points?
Potentially. Let's. They are 13.
I haven't even looked where they are on the table. I don't care to such a degree.
Right. The ultimate answer to this is, regardless of who we're playing, regardless of where we're playing it, regardless of where they are in the league, we are coming up against John Eustace.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I've already typed in 1-0 defeat in the prediction sheet for me. We are going to get beat 1-0 because John Eustace beats Leeds United 1-0. That's what happens.
Oh, it's going to be a dreadful game, this, isn't it?
Yeah. I've told you, I should press my thing, shouldn't I? Yeah, I'm doing a charity thing on Sunday. I probably won't even see this game. Scan QR code if you're watching. If you have any money, please donate. All of that stuff. Thank you very much. Right, back to football. I'd forgotten I needed to do that. Yeah, I have zero faith in us getting anything out of this game just because it's such a... And I genuinely, if we got beat like 5-0, I'd be annoyed at how terrible the performance is. If we rest a load of players and just like get beat in a narrow game, it won't even register.
Yeah.
We get through 3 rounds of this, I'll start caring a whole lot. But
I can't help but look at Ben Berrett and Diaz being at Derby, which I literally only just found out before recording, whose reputation seems to have absolutely fallen off a cliff since he left Blackburn. Between the talks of, yeah, we don't pick him internationally because he's not really tried with the L lingo and whatnot. Which probably also explains why he only played 14 games for Villarreal as well. Sheffield United on loan in the Premier League in an ill-fated season, followed by going to Southampton, doing absolutely sod all, and then loans at Sheffield United and Derby.
Yeah.
So redemption arc.
Speaking of redemption arcs, they also have Rian Brewster.
Speaking of failing strikers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
That
Zetterström that's in goal, I remember him having a decent enough reputation, but whenever we played against him, it looked crap. Matt Clark they've still got, who has previous for being crap against Leeds. They do have Bobby Clark, the one that was I'm guessing he's on loan from Liverpool and still at Liverpool. He's meant to be pretty decent.
But Carlson Morris of Luton as well.
Right, that's what we can do now. Hasn't he scored quite a lot of goals this season?
10 in 16.
Yeah, I do remember seeing that he was looking more like the Luton version of himself. They also still have Andy Vyman, who, although I'm assuming he doesn't have the legs anymore, is a good footballer.
Excuse me? Andy Vyman's still there? He's still going?
Yeah, I mean, he was very young when he was at Villa. I'm going to say he's like 35.
Andreas Vyman, bloody hell. And he's playing regularly as well.
Yeah.
He is 34.
Oh, so he's actually younger than I thought. But yeah, he should still have some quality about him. I've seen they've got Deion Sanderson at the back, who is a fairly good defender, and I believe that like John Eustace has signed him at like his last four clubs.
And if his nickname's not Neon, that it's all just it's all a waste.
I think that he's just like, you know, it's sort of a, he's a Michael Tong. He's going everywhere with him.
A Danny Pugh,
only probably better.
Michael Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, I am resigned to losing this. It's fine.
Oh, Michael is just in the comments saying Wrexham are 2-0 up against Forest in the cup.
Yeah.
But they will be. I haven't seen the team, but I bet they're the same as us. I bet they've played no one. Let's have a look. Not no one. It's a rotated team, but in fairness, that's...
Well, it's because they've got a bleeding massive
squad. They've got a really
squad.
Good squad, haven't they, I suppose? Yeah, they've clearly rotated a lot, but that's still a really good team, and they should be doing better than that. I'm in a similar boat. I will just say now, to be honest, we'll do the predictions a bit first and then try and figure out the team. Little Danny has a 2-1 win. Benny, 3-1. Alex, 3-0. I will just check to see if I have had a message off Connie, because I probably do. I have indeed 3-1.
Do we go to replays?
No, they binned them off, didn't they?
Have we fully got rid of player? Not players, replays now.
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm going to say in 90 minutes, 1-1.
You're going to say 1-1. As I said before, I'm definitely going for a 1-0 defeat, because that is just what always happens when we play against John Eustace. So Derby will... Derby, I've just checked, are proper mid-table. They are 13th. They're only 6 points off the playoffs. They're 11 points clear of relegation. So although they'll probably make some changes, you would think they'll pick just about their strongest side for this. Because they don't need to like rest everyone. It's not like they're right up at the top and putting all their eggs in promotion. They shouldn't be terrified of going down. They also hate us.
Yeah.
You'd think that they'll be well up for this. Whereas us, it's definitely going to be Darlow in goal.
Find some defenders, Jack.
I think Sarah just pressed the wrong button. It's going to be, if we stick in front two, Metcher and Pirro.
I think he might go 4-2-3-1. He gets to go back to the system.
So you think it'll be a 4-2-3-1 again, back to the Championship side?
Because again, find me 5 defenders.
Yeah, fair points.
It's sort of where I'm coming from with it.
In that case, do you think though that it's Pirro behind Metcher, or is Pirro up top and someone else is at 10?
I think you could see that. To be fair, he was always all right playing Joel Pirro at 10, so I think you'd be fine with that.
Who will be on Metcher? Nonto right, Harrison left? They're the wingers that aren't starting, so...
You could play Okafor, because Okafor's been in and out the last few weeks. Mm. If you're dead set on just anyone who's playing regularly... Let's drop them, then yeah, I think you'd be out. But yeah, we'll go with that. It'll be Paris on the left. Yeah, he rides one last time.
Middle of midfield, then it's Tanaka and someone, isn't it?
I think Tanaka and Gruev. I know Gruev's played the last few games, but on the whole this season he's not played a massive amount.
Mm.
And Tanaka's been in and out of the starting lineup as well.
Although we are forgetting, of course, that he always picks Ampadu.
He does for the cup games, doesn't he?
Is it? Although I suppose it depends. If he's playing a three, if he ends up playing three at the back, I could see Ampadu being a centre back for this game. I probably wouldn't do that, but I could see him doing it. If you think it's 4-2-3-1, then what, Byron right back, Justin left back. And then I think it's
Bornau
and you could Bornau and
Strauch.
Bjorn?
The I will Bornau, say Bjorn? if you do the three, then I could see it being Justin. What was I going to go with? Like Justin, Bornau, Ampadu. And then you've got Sam Chambers at right wing back and Byram left wing back.
Yeah, I will say if he starts a back three and he plays Byram wing back and Justin at centre back, I would play them the other way around.
Yeah. In terms of legs, it makes sense.
Just in terms of ability to get up and down the pitch and stuff. And I think Byron can play centre-back. He's done it before.
Yeah. And Leeds' answer to the right wing-back solution, Sam Chambers.
Yeah. So I think we'll stick with a three just because I think he'll want to keep that going, at least to start with. So I think it'll be like a front two of Metro and Peru.
Yeah.
I think maybe Ampadu does end up playing as a centre-back in that. But I'm really not sure. The more interesting thing is, do you think any kids get game time? And full disclosure, I haven't seen nearly enough of the 21s to comment this season.
Really. What is the deal with Harry Gray at the moment?
If he's fit, he should get some minutes, I would hope. Unless he has a loan lined up, and then maybe you don't want to cut time.
Is he old enough to go out on loan?
Yeah, he's turned 17. He signed his pro deal at the start of the season.
That's fine.
Sam Chambers obviously has a chance because he got onto the bench. The one I'd quite like to see, and it isn't just to win the predictions thing because I'm pretty sure that we said league specifically, didn't we?
Hmm.
Yeah, and under 21 league debut, I went for Jaden Leanu. And he, from the bits I've seen, looks a pretty decent left back. I wouldn't mind seeing him play some left wing back minutes.
I mean, any players that play in defensive positions, I think have got a decent chance of making the squad.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look, what was our last game with the 21s? It doesn't seem to be that many.
No, I feel like, and this is my fault, I shouldn't just know this. I'm sure that someone said like the Leeds under 21s are playing either like tonight or tomorrow.
Hmm. Let's get the fixtures up.
They're playing Reading tomorrow at midday.
It could give some clues.
Yeah, if there's any highish profile names missing from that, because the 21 profile dropped off. From the bits I've seen, and again, it's out of date at this point. Like, Rhys Chadwick looks a decent young player. I know that. There's a lot of people quite like Josh McDonald. So we'll see from that. But I think...
Sorry, hang on. We've really missed the obvious one here.
Oh, of course, Johnny Howson.
Johnny Howson.
Yeah, no, that's our bad. He's probably the most ready of all the youngsters. And he can play in the back three. Or he's actually quite well suited for... You know what? Play him. I want to see him play a first team game for Leeds. I really want to see that.
I think because it looks as if the 21s haven't played a game since mid-December.
Yeah, they have like a full winter break with barely played. Is Adam Lennon still coaching the 18s?
Yeah, get him in.
Okay, we'll play him.
What's James Milner up to apart from, you know, trying to beat Gary Barry's record? Yeah.
He's not even one of ours, but Stuart Downing's still the assistant for the 21s. Fuck it, play him. Yeah. Play Scott Gardner.
What is Gavin Rothery up to?
I cannot be that old. So therefore, Scott Gardner is still 28.
He's still got a run in him.
Like, he just must be. Look, if computer games taught me anything, that man's a Luxembourg international. Don't come here with that was just a computer game. That man is a Luxembourg international, even if he never played for him.
He's 37, so he's still. I think he's still got a run.
So he's younger than Johnny Howson by a year.
Yeah, that man's an England under 16. Once.
I'm saying now, if Farka doesn't put Howson in the squad, it's because he's got no balls. Get him in there. Everyone wants to see it. That away end, we could get beat 3-0. If Johnny Howson got 10 minutes, that away end's going to be happy.
Yeah. You're clearly going to pick a team that you are okay with not winning that game.
Yeah. I mean, I want us to win. I hope we win. I would love us to have a couple of them. But it's so not a priority that unless you get through, like, 3 rounds, you can't start taking it properly seriously in our situation. Unless, like, say we get through this, and then by the time the 4th round's come around, we've won 3, and West Ham and those below haven't got another point. Which won't happen. But if that was to happen, you can then go, all right, yeah, full team in FA Cup then.
Yeah, I can see West Ham not getting another point.
I can't. But that's only true. Because it's us. It's not to do with them.
Yeah. So, yeah.
The Magdalene still thinks Burnley might get out of it.
So, yeah. So ultimately what we're coming away from this is just play Johnny, yeah?
Yeah, that's now become the head. If I hadn't already titled this, the title would be just play Johnny Howson.
Circle out on the whiteboard.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anyone that's been playing in the 18s that they like really like, that they might want to just throw up for a day to get them some experience and maybe get them involved. But yeah, it'll be a much changed team, so you can't expect any fluency. I expect it to be a bad game of football.
Yeah.
Like, just not good to watch at all. So we'll see what comes out of it. But yeah, we've actually ended up with quite the spread. There's nothing that isn't covered, so we can't just say get all your money on something. But I am the lone person having us losing. Although you have won all, so have you got us getting beat on penalisation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's missing the key penalty for us?
All of them.
Okay.
Look, Carl Darlow will play, so no saves.
Oh, yeah, he is the worst penalty saver in the world, isn't he?
And then... you know what? Sod it, he's going to miss a penalty as well.
I'm saying that if it goes to penalties, the winning penalty is scored by Patrick Adjiman. Because I like that they have Patrick Adjiman, even though it's obviously not that one, because he's about 48.
Of Preston 2004.
Yeah. Fame. I think he might be, I think he's American.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just like that he's back in pog form.
Nice.
Yeah, I was just, God, he's got 12 caps for the US. Yeah, because, no, he's definitely getting it. So then the Americans that hate Leeds United because they think we hate Americans.
He's got more than Ghanaian Patrick Adjiman, who has 2 caps, 1 goal for Ghana.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose in a sense, he is also Ghanaian Patrick Adjiman because the first line of his wiki is born to Ghanaian parents.
Yeah.
So he would be eligible had he not already played for the US. But I did. The main reason I went on his wiki is to check that it wasn't like Patrick Adjiman's son, because it could have been for all I know.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I'm not. I'm in no way confident, but I'm also in no way nervous.
So apathetic then, yeah.
Yeah, complete apathy. Unless Johnny Howson plays, and then I have to break off from my charity stream to get my phone out. So legitimately, if Johnny Howson's on the bench and he comes on, I need you to message me.
Will do.
Hopefully I'm not on camera at the time pulling the phone out.
Oh my God, he's back. John is back.
Yeah, I would like to see one of it. If he's up to it, I'd like to see Longstaff get 20 minutes.
Just to try and get,
something back into his legs. But I don't think he'll be ready to start. And then we can go from there. So, yeah, that will do us for episode 342 of the Mighty Whites podcast. We'll be back at some point next week. I have no idea when it'll be the most convenient. And it'll be a weird one because, obviously, unless something changes, I won't have seen the game at all, barring the highlights. And unless we win like 6-0, I'm not going to find out the 90 minutes and watch it back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll go from there. So, I've been Jack's here.
I mean, Casey, have a good one.
Play Johnny Howson.